We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 94. I'm Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TVholic from TVholic.com. And this week we have joining us...
Hi, I'm Alex from TheTVCheck.com.
Yay! Round of applause for Alex. I warned her beforehand, so she knows this question's coming. So tell us a little bit about The TV Chick, how it got started, what got you interested. Like, was there a show that you were like, I love the show, now I have to write about TV? How did that all come together?
Well, I've really loved TV since I can remember. I've always watched a ton of it and had a lot to say about it. So, and I also work in TV production, so I kind of have seen how the other side works. So I just decided a few years ago that I wanted to start a blog, a site for it, to talk to other people and about TV and all the TV show I watch. Put it to good use, because I really watch a ridiculous amount of TV, so as I'm sure we all do. So that's sort of how it came about, and I've really been enjoying sort of the interview aspect to it, getting to talk to a lot of people that, you know, I normally wouldn't have talked to, and just getting to see shows in advance and just think about it from a more sort of critical aspect. Like, I mean, I'm still a huge fan, but just thinking about how I write up a show and stuff has sort of changed sort of how I watch TV, but I still love it and I still love writing about it. And I've met so many great people, including you guys, to talk about it.
Yay.
And you know, so I've really enjoyed it. It's just a nice outlet to get to talk about something that I love. So that's
cool.
That's all. That's my story.
Yeah. Excellent. That's pretty much everybody's story that I've talked to so far. I don't think I've talked to anybody who's like, well, I really don't like TV, but I write about it. because those people stop writing about it when they don't like TV anymore. Cough.
Right.
Ray. So that's
yeah.
That's
I have
our
the alternate
intro.
Problem is I find it hard to write about it because I'm watching something.
Yeah. No, that's yeah. true. I barely write about anything. I watch everything, but I barely write about it.
It's hard sometimes to get yourself to be like, I need to write about this now. Oh,
and I
wait.
Think like every week I approach my site and I'm going to be like, okay, this week I'm going to write it differently. I'm going to do something differently. And then it comes that there's like one episode or one day a week where I have an interview posted and then what's on every day. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, especially now when there's like not a lot on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So not a lot in the news today. Mad Men is set to return for 3 more seasons, but season 5 won't be on until March 2012. So we have a full year, basically, until Mad Men. We've already been waiting, what, since September was the finale or was October the finale? I don't know. I didn't watch the season.
I don't remember. So. I didn't watch it either.
I've got some time to catch up now.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing I was looking at. I was like, well, now I can, you know, I've been thinking of catching up. It's that show that it's really good, but I just can't ever really get into it.
Yes, I'm the same way.
But I sort of want to be able to, I don't know why, but I keep trying to watch it.
Instead of being like, oh yeah, it's a good show, but have a reason why it's a good show. Yeah.
I keep trying to watch it, but once again, I got into, you know, caught up, got into season 3 a little bit and then just fell behind. So now I have a really long time, maybe a year.
Yeah, you have a few years to catch up. So I think
every
you've got time.
One episode every month and a half or so should be able to.
You should be good.
I was going to say, I'll take the controversial stance and say when my Twitter feed sort of exploded with this news this week, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
not really. Like, I
was the same way.
Everyone was so mad and incensed, and I was just like, all right. Well.
I know, they pulled a whole, like, a whole year, what am I going to do without it? And I'm like, you've gone this far.
Right.
And you were still going to have like 6 or 7 months before it started anyway, or like 6 months anyway. So it's not like, I mean, yes, it's a little bit longer, but we've all been through it before. We went through it with 24. We go through it with basically every cable show. The Sopranos was basically off the air for like 2 years once.
Right.
It's fine.
Nurse Jackie's off the air for like 9 months or something, right?
So like, these people I understand people love Mad Men. I understand that.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world. So.
Right.
And the other thing was it really in doubt? Like, were they really not going to come to some agreement?
Yeah.
It's their marquee show. Even if it doesn't get the huge ratings, it's still their marquee show right now. And they were not going to just go, oh, over a minute of commercial time or something like that go, oh yeah, we're not doing it anymore at all, ever.
Yeah.
So there's that. HBO has canceled In Treatment in the current format of the two episodes every night for like the whole week, whatever it was doing. But it may be back in another format. I'm not exactly sure. I didn't read any stories about it, so I'm not sure what the additional format could be.
No one really suggested. Yeah, I didn't read anything like that.
Yeah, there wasn't like a specific some other thing like they had in mind or something like that. Just that the ratings weren't there, or, you know, there weren't enough people. It wasn't drawing enough audience to HBO to continue producing it, doing, you know, multiple episodes a week type of thing and stuff like that. But that they still wanted to tell, they still had stories to tell. They still wanted to tell in that format somehow. So I don't know if they're going to do, you know, like a movie.
Right. I mean, I've seen a couple people that have said like that it ended well. I don't watch it, but I've heard that the way that the season ended this year, it kind of felt like a good spot for the show to stop. So people aren't as upset about this cancellation as they've been about others.
I mean, they could also do it a once a week thing. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's always an interesting idea, especially in it. You know, it changed somewhat over the course of its What did it do? Three seasons?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, you know, the first season, it was multiple. You know, it was 4 days a week for, you know, like 10 weeks or something like that, and it changed a little bit. The next time in this last season was only a couple times a week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could change it around, and they've already done some of that. I always thought it was an interesting idea where, you know, you sort of check in with this daily, where you could pretty much watch it if you just liked the appointment that was on Tuesday, you know?
Right. Yeah. Type of thing. I had a weird, like, relationship with the show, if you can call it that. Because, I mean, I've watched all three, but I actually haven't really finished the second and third season because each season I didn't want to see the end of the patient. Like, I know what happens, but I felt so invested in certain patients. I was like, I can't, I don't know. This is so intense. Like, it's really bizarre. Like, I'm really behind on the third season. I didn't finish that one on purpose. I just fell really behind. But the first couple of seasons, I was like, I can't see this end. So I don't know. I love Gabriel Byrne. So I'd love to see something continue with him as Paul Weston, because I think that's such a good role for him. But who knows how they could bring it back. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So, like, people with the Friday Night Lights don't want to watch that last episode.
Oh, my God. I'm so dreading it. I'm going to be a mess of tears and just, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be horrible.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's In Treatment, and we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted on anything we hear. FX. Yay, has renewed Archer, and Justified for third seasons, which I knew was going to happen last week, but it wasn't official until this week. And it's so exciting because Archer is just amazing this season. I mean, it was incredible in season one. It's gotten better in season two, and they're going to have more episodes in season three. And this voice cast is just amazing. Amazing. And Justified, I hear, is having a great season too. I have all the DVDs. I haven't watched it. Sorry.
Same.
It is having a good season.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't have enough time for another gritty, dark, depressing drama in my week.
I agree. That's what's, like, kept me back. I have all the DVDs, too, and I'm sure I'll eventually catch up, but hasn't happened yet.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I think FX, I mean, we were talking about it last week, how FX just, they cancel shows really well, but they also renew shows with, like, really good backing to it, and everybody involved is so, like, happy with their shows when they do well. So, I really love FX, and I love what they do, and I love Archer. So there's that. I feel like I thought of another piece of news as I was sitting here, but I didn't write anything down. I did scribble boxes on my paper in front of me, but that's unrelated. So yeah, if it comes up, I'll mention it. So that's all the news we have for this week, maybe. And
yeah, so spoiler alert for the rest of the episode, at any time.
Anytime I could drop off.
There could be a breaking news.
So yeah, you know where to find the rest of the news that we didn't bother to tell you. So now, it is time for prime time. And oh my gosh, okay, this is not news, but this is related to Hang Time from Where I Get My Theme Song. So I was watching Secrets of a Stylist yesterday with my parents. And it's that show that Emily from Design Star runs, and I wonder, she must be friends with a bunch of, like, famous people. And I say famous, I use it loosely. She did do Ian Brennan's house in, like, her pilot. But in the weekend, in the episode I was watching yesterday, she was doing the house for Hillary Tuck, who has been, like, in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show. She was in Hang Time. And there she is on a design show. And her house turned out really ugly. I don't think Emily's a great designer. But it was exciting because I recognized her. My parents were like, what the heck? How do you recognize some random person on some design show? I'm like, that's what I do. That's what I do. Also, I'm thinking of starting a frozen yogurt place in Pennsylvania. So
that's, I will come.
My new goal. We have none, and I'm freaking out because
frozen yogurt places?
Well, not like, basically no. There's like TCBY at rest stops on the turnpike, but it's just, so basically you can get chocolate, vanilla, or a swirl, but we don't have it to the degree that, like, not even a Pinkberry.
I was going to say not even a Pinkberry, yeah.
Not even a Pinkberry. There's a Yogurtland in, like, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and I don't want to drive an hour for yogurt. So, though...
We have a Red Mango that just opened up here not too long ago, and we just had a TCBY open up near me, and it's Serve Yourself.
That's the best kind! Yes. Oh my god, I love Serve Yourself!
It sounds like a good idea, except you have no idea how much you're really putting in there.
Yeah.
Until you walk up there and stick it on the scale, and they're like, yeah, that'll be like $8. And you're like, what?
Yeah, you go a little overboard. Yeah.
That's a lot of yogurt for $8 because I kept thinking I was putting way too much in mine, and I was only paying like $3 at the yogurt land. So maybe TCBY is a little more expensive.
Well, they're charging like 39 cents an ounce.
Yeah, that's more expensive. So, they have new flavors now, though, because TCBY basically used to be like, but this is totally unrelated to TV and nobody cares, but I'm really, really concerned about it. So I'm going to go start a TCBY maybe, or maybe a Yogurtland. I don't know yet.
Don't do a TCBY. Yeah, do something.
You can't walk a block in New York City without finding a yogurt place. So I'm pretty set, but I feel like you'd make a killing.
I know. I'm going through withdrawal. It's killing me. So anyway, that's my little advertisement.
First tangent of the day.
Come on. So we're going to talk about my favorite show first. Secret Life of the American Teenager, Season 3, Episode 15, Who Do You Trust? Or as I like to refer to this episode, a walking advertisement for STD testing.
STIs, or whatever they call it now. Oh my god.
Okay, I'm of the camp that this show has been terrible from the beginning because and I've said it a million times, like, I was in marching band, it was never like that. Yes, in high school there was people who had sex at band camp, but it was never like that. We didn't say sex 70 times in an hour like they do. This episode was basically like preaching to people that are watching it, like, you should get tested, you shouldn't get tested, you don't need to get tested, you should get tested, I'm gonna get tested, I'm not gonna get tested. And I was like, are you kidding me?
How about Adrian, who like grew a foot in pregnancy over like what, 2 months?
Oh my god!
Understand. I think
gets pregnant the first time they have sex together, then or by having sex they kill their parents. I'm just like,
right? Oh, that was terrible. I just, when I first started watching it, I don't know if you noticed, but the very first season, it's been so long since the first season, it feels like it's been 20 seasons so far. But it was like really a big Christian undertone, and I was like, this is weird, I don't like this, whatever, but I'm just going to keep watching. And now I have gotten to the point where I really only watch because I just want to know what the hell happens to these people. Like, I don't even know why I care, but I'm like, what is like, what's going to happen? Is this person going to remember she almost had an abortion and then she's pregnant again? Is this other person, are there going to be a teenage marriage? Like, what? Like, something has, and Brenda Hampton has said she wants to go as long as Seventh Heaven, which is like, are you kidding me?
Oh my God. So before Secret Life of the American Teenager, Seventh Heaven was my least favorite television show ever made. And I watched every episode of Cavemen. Okay? I hated Seventh Heaven. My delight when Ruthie Camden's still on The Secret Life of the American Teenager, and she passes in the hallway with Lucy Camden, and they share a stare-off. And you'd think after 11 years in a TV show, Beverly Mitchell would learn how to, like, I don't know, say a line without looking like a crazy person. But no, this show gets me so incensed because I'm just like, are you kidding me? That doesn't really happen. People don't really talk like that.
Yeah, we're still watching it, so I don't know.
Yeah, but apparently in Brenda Hampton's world, they do. They do stand around and talk amongst their friends about getting tested for STDs.
Yeah, there's a weird thing on the show that I call it. It's like they don't have conversations. They have mini speeches at each other. They all talk in like little mini speeches where they're looking straight ahead and they're telling you something. They're not really having a discussion. But it's also like done in what I call bad, you know, SNL sketch form, in that they all sometimes feel like they're reading the cue card off. That's what that's what they're staring at.
Right.
And they're like reading a speech and then the other person reads the next part of the speech. And the other thing about the show that boggles my mind, and so it has to be the directing and the script together that make this so bad.
Or lack thereof.
Is pretty much all of the adult characters in the show, you see them in other things and they're good.
Right.
And then you see them on this and you're like, what?
Oh, Molly Ringwald.
I feel so bad for her.
I know.
I really do.
Oh, my God.
My boyfriend likes to imitate her sister, Amy's sister, because she talks so funny.
Oh, my God. Like,
Amy's sister is so bad.
Okay.
She's like a little robot. Has, like, no...
She is the original Juliet. She's Juliet's daughter. Like, she is Olivia Hussey's daughter. Why is she so bad?
I don't know.
I do feel bad. And then I say things like, and like I did with Huge, I wasn't a fan of Huge, but I wondered why people were, not in a like, why on earth are you a fan of this, but like, truly, what is it about the show that you like?
I actually liked it towards the end. Well, I liked it. The beginning was horrible. And I was like, I guess I'm just going to keep watching. And what I liked were the other... I thought Nikki Blonsky's character was disgustingly horrible. She's horrible. But I thought that when they got into the stuff behind, like, Hayley Hasselhoff's character and Harvey Guillen's character, like, they were actually good actors. And Raven Goodman's character. But... the whole part with Nikki Blonsky, you never really got to understand. I don't think they got enough time to sort of, like, explain anything to us, because they had one season, and it kind of got good towards the end, and then it went away, so... But right. In the beginning, I was kind of turned off as well. I was like, I don't know, I like everybody but her, and she was the main character.
You can say that, too, like, about the show, but anybody I've talked to about Secret Life, they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, then you obviously don't like it.
Yeah, but we all keep watching it. So what's wrong with us?
It's one of those things where it's like, I want to see if it's really going to keep happening. And
me too.
It really is car wreck TV, where you slow down to see what happened, you know, as you're driving by, and create a traffic jam of millions of people that continue to look at it every week.
Yeah,
it's bizarrely highly rated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's doing... I don't know. I think it's probably doing ratings-wise better than Seventh Heaven ever did. And it outdoes pretty much everything on the CW, ratings-wise. Especially stuff that ends up on the same... stuff that's ended up in the same time slot, you know, or on the same days that it's been, it always does better ratings-wise. And you're just like, I think I tune in... for two reasons. One is to keep trying to figure out why all these people watch. And secondly is because it is hilarious.
Yeah.
I watched this, you know, past week's episode last night, and I laugh more than a lot of comedies that are on TV right now watching Secret Life. And it's not a comedy.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
But I just, like, I have some weird reason that I want to know what happens to these characters until it goes off the air. I don't know why. It's for no good reason. I just want to know. Like, I don't know.
So we'll see what happens. And honestly, if you're watching Secret Life, let us know why.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I try not to sound, like, so sarcastic. I'm like, why are you watching? But I mean it. Like, let us know. I do want to know.
Yes, we're searching for that person that... Well, we're searching for that person that says that they watch it because they like it, or they like...
Because they think there's great acting or something.
Yeah. Or the dialogue is incredible, or...
Or the direction's good or something. But anyway, moving on, because we could go on about this horrific show forever, to Make It or Break It, Secret Life's counterpart on Monday nights, season 2, episode 11, The New Normal.
So this show, compared to its counterpart, is actually pretty good. I like it a lot. Like, legitimately, not to laugh at it in any sense.
Exactly. I'm with you.
I love gymnastics. I used to be a gymnast, and I really like what they do on the show. And the premiere is pretty good. We don't want to spoil too much for you, Eric.
No, you can. I've already read recaps. You can. Okay. I just haven't watched it yet.
I mean, they basically, Kaylee is in a rehab center. So she's trying to get better from her eating disorder, but she's sort of not admitting that she has a problem. And Sasha's gone. Their coach is just gone. So they're kind of wondering where he is. And then the patient's mom finds him at the end in this like boxing ring, and we're not sure if he's going to come back or not, which is a little bizarre. But I really like Sasha, and I mean, by all intents and purposes, I'm sure he's coming back. But you know, so it's going to be an interesting season. I think a lot of it's going to deal with Kaylee, and then possibly some stuff with Lauren dealing with the death of her mom and stuff like that. So I'm not sure. I think it's going to be it's set up a good season. I think someone's going to die. They have teased that all over ABC Family. Mm. So, and I have my theories on who it's going to be, but I don't know. I don't want to spoil anybody. But I think I think personally, it's going to be Kaylee's friend at the eating disorder clinic. If I had to guess, because I don't think it's going to be anybody major. But
yeah, I feel like,
and that'll be what scares her back into.
Might not do it. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think so. I mean, maybe they'll pull an Army Wives and just have someone out of total left field die. But
and then next season they'll do the same thing, and then next season they'll do the same thing, and then they'll just keep killing off people until no one's left.
Yep, that'll be sad though. Then there'll be no rock gymnasts. And there was also a whole thing about Emily and her like ankle monitoring bracelet, because she had to go to an exhibition with the team in Denver. Also, interestingly enough, I don't know if this is widely known, but Chelsea Hobbs, the actress who plays Emily, is pregnant.
Is she?
Yeah. So I think she may have had her baby, or maybe not. I don't know. But I'm not sure how that's going to work for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because they can't really cover that up like on a balance beam. So I don't know.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. I have a lot of
close-ups of her face and then long shots of somebody else.
Right. My feeling is maybe she just won't do gymnastics for a while. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's a little bizarre, but what can you do? She's in her 20s, you know, so.
Well, that is, speaking of their age, one of my favorite things on the show is that her and the woman that plays her mother are actually only like 5 years in age difference in real life, but
right.
But in TV land, you can be pretty much any age and play a teenager.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, on the scale of things, it's definitely in the higher, you know, the above average echelon of ABC Family shows.
Hmm.
They do a pretty good job. I mean, there's, you know, a little bit of silliness here and there that is, but you know, they have to create the drama out of something.
Right.
And like the thing they set up in this episode was Lauren's father saying, if he ever finds out who leaked the picture, you know, they're out of the rock.
Right. That was big.
Everybody knows that it's his daughter that did it, but
of course.
So, you know, that'll come to a head at some point. And they set up a lot of stuff like that. But,
I will say that on this show, the adults who are also are famous, a la Secret Life, do a much better job. I will have to say that.
Yes, yes, they do.
Perry
I
Gilpin,
love Candace
right?
Cameron on this.
I think so too. It's obvious that she. It's funny because I feel like she completely like has her own say in what she says, because she's very, you know, religious in her personal life, and that comes out on the show. I'm like, I think she's influencing these storylines just a little, maybe. But no, I think she's good. I think she's good, and I think Perry Gilpin is really good, and the parents are pretty good, the other parents. But who knows what will happen?
Yeah, we'll see what happens this year. And I was just going off on a little tangent now that I hear that Chelsea Hobbs is pregnant. So then I Googled her as I'm sitting here. She's been married since 2004, but she's only 25.
Huh. Whoa.
So,
how does that
and this is her second baby.
Wait, what?
She's married since 2004. This is her second baby. And Yeah, and her other babies, like her other kids, like 5.
Whoa,
this is crazy. Anyway, good job. Congratulations.
Who is she married to?
Some photographer guy.
Okay, it's the guy she always tweets at. Okay,
Taryn Otto.
Just checking. Yes, that's him. I thought it was pronounced differently, but I don't know. I always said it like Terranoto, but that's probably.
I have no idea. I just looked up his name. I've never heard of him before.
I can't believe she has another kid. So wait, so she, how old would she have had to be? This is such a tangent. How old would she have when she had her first kid?
Well, see, I don't know. It didn't say how old her first kid was, but.
No, first kid is like 5. Didn't you say her first kid?
Well, I don't know. From the picture that I saw of her.
Oh.
Okay. But yeah, so I bet you she had her first kid when she was like 20.
Okay. All right. Huh.
Yeah, you have to remember, she's only 16 on the show.
Right. And she has 2 children. So there you have it. There anyway, tangent number 87. That's make it or break it.
Yes.
So moving on to The Good Wife. Season 2, episode 18, Killer Song. Oh my god, how funny was the killer? Like, I mean, I know that's ridiculous, but
yeah,
it was insane, but hysterical.
He was.
I was kind of bummed that, I don't know, the bombshell, quote-unquote bombshell from Kalinda or whatever, did not, I don't know, it didn't feel like a bombshell to me. I felt like it was just kind of a natural progression that would happen. The thing is, I wish that more about that had happened in this episode.
Yeah. I think they're teasing it for next week. Alicia's going to find out, I think, next week. But, yeah, I agree, because there was such a moment at the end, and then sort of nothing really came of it except for that one moment between Kalinda and Peter. So it's like kind of, I don't know, I agree with you. I think it would have been nice to see more about that, because, I don't know, Kalinda's probably my favorite character on the show, so it's like I want to see more of her. I don't know. I thought it did change a lot. I mean, I never thought of her as someone who would like sleep with Peter, so maybe that was just an enter into my head. But I thought there was obviously something huge coming up with her, because all the stuff with Blake and like something was going to come up, but I didn't know. I didn't expect it.
Yeah,
that's the reason I want to know what it is that she was like running from, or had to get away with, or needed to change her name for that. She would do something like that. That's still what I want to know, is the why behind it.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like we talked about with Daniel last week, is I kind of want to go back and watch scenes in the beginning, because it seems like there might have been some awkwardness a little bit between Kalinda when she first had to work with her. Or was there some sign that you just didn't see?
Right.
Because otherwise, it does sort of feel like it just came out of nowhere with something like that, where they said they had the idea from the beginning, and that they actually wanted to use it all the way back in the pilot, you know, actually just have it already known.
Right.
But ended up waiting till now, because I don't recall any scenes where you could go back and say
you know,
that was kind of awkward when they first met, or that was sort of awkward when she was around Peter, or some such thing. I don't know. Otherwise, it does feel almost a little too out of left field.
Yeah. And then I argue, like, did they really want to try and do that the whole time? Or are they just saying that they had this idea from the beginning?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. That's interesting.
If it was a piece of information that you knew, kind of like now, but Alicia didn't, and then saw sort of how their relationship grew, that would be an interesting thing now that you know. Kind of, but, you know, who knows how long they're going to go before Alicia finds out if they do it next week or what.
Right.
It almost seems like if you drop it in there and then you blow it up, you've sort of lost a little bit of what you could have done with it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
It'll be interesting to see. Overall, though, it's still really good. I mean, like
it's been a great season, I think.
Exactly. It's been fantastic.
With the creepy killer and they, you know, tricking him on the stand and realizing that the lyrics were about
a different murder.
It just wasn't the one that they thought it was about. That was all done really well, and that guy plays creepy really well.
Yeah, that's Nate's dad on Gossip Girl.
Yep, yes he is.
He plays creepy good on both shows. So
so I don't know, I'm loving the show. This season is what took it to like love from just like for me, so I am interested to see what happens. I just hope that it kind of happens soon.
I also want to see more with Alicia and Will soon. I think I mean, I love it. I love the tension, but I'm like, do something. Make out.
Exactly.
Do something.
Exactly.
Like, you need to admit that you love him. You need to admit that you don't really love Peter anymore. Like, just do it. Like, please, by the end of the season, don't make us wait another season. Like, I think they're great at creating tension and cliffhangers, and I think they do it in such a great way from episode to episode, because they're not just giving us everything we want. They're sort of giving us a very small amount of what we want. Right. But I don't want to have to wait another season for them to, like, kiss in the back room of the law firm. I don't know. Maybe maybe it's just me who dreams about that, but whatever.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
So there's that, and we look forward to them making out at the in the courtroom or whatever happens.
She was fine with me. Anywhere's good.
In the courtroom, in the boardroom, in the back room, in the bedroom. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
Doesn't matter. Anywhere. On the floor.
Yeah. The TV chick just wants to see him getting down.
Do it already. Come on.
Our next show, actually, is Parenthood, Season 2, Episode 19, Taking the Leap. From what I understand, Cappé is in this episode, right?
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
And he needs a haircut.
He does. Briefly in the episode, sort of flirting it up with Mae Whitman's character a little bit. I'm sure he'll keep flirting with her, it seems, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's always weird a little bit. I mean, there'll probably be more with the way they set it up. But it's always weird when you see somebody from their own show on another show, and it's almost like a really small part. It always seems strange when you first, and then you sort of adjust to, okay, they're not, this is a different show, you know, and you get into what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved Mae Whitman this season, though. I think she's been really phenomenal, and I love Amber and Amber's relationship with Sarah, and I think, like, that's, I mean, there's so much intense stuff going on, and I think that relationship is sometimes sort of overlooked, but I think they've had some really awesome moments this season. I, like, am in love with that show, and it took season 2 for me also to just be like, I can't get enough of this show. I just think it's so great.
Hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but
I haven't watched it.
Not this episode, but at all.
No. I'm like 13 episodes beyond.
I mean, the first season, I was sort of like, wow, this first pilot, are they just throwing so much at me? And where's Lorelai Gilmore? And I just was really like, I don't know what to think of this. And then it just got really, really good. All the acting is just really great. And all the stuff with Max this season has been great, too. I don't know, Jason, if you're caught up, but it was...
I've watched all of it. I'm caught up through this episode. And I just think the cast is just outstanding.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, Mae Whitman has had some, they've given her some incredible stuff to do in, you know, a smaller part, but some episodes that feature, especially like when they brought her dad in for, you know, for a while, brought the dad back for a while, that, you know, that led to some really good scenes for her. And the Max storyline, I mean, that one, the parents and dealing with, with that is, it's so, they're so good at, I don't know, the stuff feels, everything feels more real, but yet not totally. I mean, obviously, it's TV, and so lots of things are going to happen so they can keep storylines going. Like,
of course,
Of course, you know, her dad is going to know somebody that works in, you know, the theater.
Yeah.
Those types of connections and things like that, those are TV type things that aren't
any, of course.
You know, in a huge family. They do such a good job. I think that may be kind of why not as many people watch, is almost that it is.
Too real.
It feels real, and, you know, you sort of go to TV to watch fake, you know, to get away from the real in some respects. And but I think they have the right amount of humor, though, and
I agree.
Inside the show that...
I don't know about you, but I really want to see Lord Graham get, like, a good love interest. I feel like the past two have been okay, and I liked Kevin Alejandro, but he didn't really stick around for too long, maybe because of True Blood, I don't know. But, like, I want to see her, like, happy. I mean, she's so she's so put upon in this show, you know? She has so much to deal with, and maybe that's just the theme of this podcast, is I just want to see these people make out. But no, I just want to see her get be happy. Maybe because I just love Lauren Graham so much. But
And, you know, she did spend a lot of Gilmore Girls being unhappy, too. So it's like, can someone just let Lauren get Graham, like, enjoy a healthy relationship?
Right? Oh, yeah. I like, absolutely adore her. I think she can do anything. And I'm glad she sort of, like, fit into her Sarah role more. Because at the beginning, I was kind of like, wait, but no, this doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
Where's Rory?
Where's Rory? Yeah. And then Mae Whitman walks circles around Rory Gilmore. Sorry, Alexis Bledel cannot hold a candle to Mae Whitman.
Mae Whitman's phenomenal. She is. I mean, they're both very, very different. But yeah, Mae Whitman has just had some really awesome stuff to do. I think I felt sad that she didn't get into college. Sorry, I felt really sad for her. Spoiler alert. I was sad.
I'm glad that you know. I feel very strongly for my characters too. So I am glad that you're saying these things out loud because I also get sad when things like that happen. Like in the season finale of season one of Alias, when Vaughn was stuck in the Rambaldi juice and he couldn't get out, I was sick to my stomach because I was concerned.
Yeah, no, I just really, I mean, I can relate to like college trouble. So I was just like, oh, that's really sad for you. What are you going to do with your life now?
Like, right.
we can talk. I can help you. Yeah.
But still, it's sort of TV-ish in that, you know, if you applied to a couple schools and you didn't get into those schools, it's not like, oh my God, I can never go to college. It's just over.
Right. Right.
You may not want to go to like community college to start out, or
of course.
There's still other options that it does sort of get played off as like this is. I mean, obviously, if that was really what you were hoping for and you thought that maybe something might work out, you would be pretty sad and, you know, kind of devastated by it. But it also isn't quite, like, totally – it's not like it's all over with.
Of course. Yeah.
So that's Parenthood. Everybody should watch it. I should get caught up, basically.
Definitely.
That's the thing is that night, it's been quite the time slot over the course of – the fall and into, there's always, you know, what's Parenthood and The Good Wife, but there's been lots of stuff showing up on cable at the, you know,
White
at the
collar,
same time. Yeah. And it's been a packed time slot for really good quality shows.
Yeah, definitely. That's usually a busy, Tuesday's usually a very busy night for me. But I hear rumors that it's going to get picked up. But, I mean, these are all unfounded rumors, so I don't know. But that's what I've heard around, but I don't know.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed for that.
Exactly.
On any other network, most of NBC's lineup would have been canceled already. But since it's on NBC, there's sort of like a different scale
now. So I just want to say like a couple things about the Top Chef finale. So season 8. Episode 16 finale. I was actually really close to not even watching it because I don't like Mike Isabella, even though I am blown away by what he appeared to cook like really good food this season. And like the judges, he really changed since he was first on. But when he was in his season, he was just kind of like, I don't know, this loaf who didn't like, I don't know, he didn't do anything. And so I still have that opinion of him. And then here he comes making really good food. I never thought he was going to win. And then he makes the finale. And I'm like, really? But then on the other side of things, I can't stand Richard Blaise because I'm saying things like, I have to act like the underdog. You know, I'm the underdog. No, you aren't. You were the clear front runner and you know it. And you're just saying to the camera, I'm the underdog. We know you're not. And you know you're not. And it just gets so annoying that anybody who thought Mike Isabella was going to beat him is insane, because I think that there was this season was created so Richard Blaise would win.
In a sense, I think you're right. And I didn't watch the entire season. I watched the finale and I watched a handful of episodes. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, especially I guess the powers that be at Bravo, were like, well, he blew it in his season. Yeah. In that season, I did watch that whole season that he blew it, the finale. And they're like, let's just get him back. He'll win. Like, I mean, yeah, I think, I mean, there were a lot of good chefs, but I was actually surprised that Mike Isabella was number two, kind of. I don't know, personally. Yeah.
No, I'm completely with you. And I just, there's something about the way Richard Blaise kind of approaches everything. Yes, he screwed up, but that doesn't, you know, it's, he choked. You know, not everybody's entitled to come back and take the win. Like, this doesn't happen in real life a lot. So he needs to kind of, I don't know. He just, and then I had, we would constantly argue about this when I was in LA with Kath and Dan, and they were like, how can you hate Richard Blaise? Like, he's so awesome. He's so annoying. I hate people who are falsely modest. Like, yeah. With the sense, like, he's totally, like, full of himself, but then he knows he has to say he's not.
Right.
So that he looks like this underdog, but he's not. Anyway. Yeah. It was a great season of Top Chef. I enjoyed it. It was nice to see some people back in the finale. So, I mean, I'll never stop watching Top Chef. Like, I enjoy it that much. I just hope that there's no one like Mike Isabella or Richard Blaise in the next season. So that's Top Chef.
Yeah.
Our last show is Grey's Anatomy, Season 7, Episode 17, Song Beneath the Song. And I put a Twitter, like, disclaimer the day after. And it was, listen, internet, I know, you know, like, you didn't like it, whatever. You will not change my opinion in that I thought the show was fine. Was it weird that they were singing? And did I say repeatedly to my sister, why are they singing now? They took a risk, and I have all the Grey's Anatomy soundtracks because I love the music, and I thought that they did a fine job with it. Was it the best episode of Grey's Anatomy ever? No. But any chance you get to see Sada Ramirez sing, okay, I'll take it.
I didn't watch, I have to admit. I've seen some Grey's, but not a lot, but there was just a lot of hate going on for
there was
that.
A lot of hate for the show.
A lot. Like, overpowering my Twitter feed. I was like, really? Okay, I guess it's that bad. I don't know.
And on some level, it's the same kind of hate we see after an episode of Glee like how people like. But it you know what? Like, that's why I said, like, dear internet, you're not going to change my mind. You didn't like it? Fine. I didn't hate it, so stop trying to change my mind.
Yeah, no.
I bought the soundtrack because I enjoy the songs. Whether they fit into the storyline or not, I enjoy the music.
Right.
Well, for this episode, I was interested in, obviously, you know, they're doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to see what it is they're going to do and how they're going to work in musical numbers into the show.
Right.
And with something like Glee, it from the beginning, they're going to break out into a music video or whatever, or they're just going to be singing, or, you know, that's how it is from the beginning. So that's, things make sense in the world that they've set up. This has a long running show of how things work.
Yeah. In a seventh season, you don't expect them to break in the song.
And so when you first see her laying on the hood and she sort of sees herself with sort of like an out-of-body experience type of thing, I go, okay.
Because they've established that something like this could happen. Like, with Meredith being in the afterlife, they've established that they'll go there. Yeah. With Katherine Heigl's character having sex with a ghost, they'll establish that they go there. So the seeing the out-of-body experience, that to me wasn't weird. And knowing that Callie has sung on the show before, that wasn't weird.
So I was like, okay, so they're going to go with, she's, she's in trouble, and what she sees in sort of an out-of-body experience, what's going on around her in the room. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of would be, as, the voiceover is her coming in and out of the episode. So, the episode's coming from her perspective. I go, okay, that makes sense to me. So they're in the room working on her, and somebody breaks into song. You're like, okay, this is what she's seen.
Right.
But then Bailey steps outside, and she breaks into song, and then comes back in, and it was like, okay.
And Owen was singing to the other doctors, not when Callie was there.
Well, see, the thing is that there, it started to, I was like, wait, how, they're not doing what I think that they're doing, and people were singing, but it was like nobody else knew that they were singing, type of thing,
right,
in the room, and so that's where it sort of sounded like this was what she was sort of perceiving as she's in this condition, type of thing. And then it goes later where she's knocked out, they're doing surgery,
and everybody's singing it.
And somebody, they're out in the hall and they're way away and they're singing, but yet it's still sort of nobody else really hears them singing, type of thing.
Right.
And then later on, you have the doctors in trying to figure out what they're going to do next. And all of a sudden Owen breaks out into song, except it's his dialogue.
Right.
And now you're like, I was like, wow, they're just all over the place with this. And so, to me, the problem I had with it wasn't that, I thought the music was actually decent enough. It fit with what they were doing.
It's songs that they've used before to a good reason.
To even go with the sort of Glee thing. I like the episodes where the music fits with what's going on better than the ones where they just decide to sing a bunch of songs.
Right.
So I think overall it sort of worked, but sometimes all of a sudden it was like the song was telling you how this person felt, but to me it was just a mess of that didn't fit
right
within the way the show has been set up to work.
But then the same thing can be said for like ER in the 10th season does a live show, and 30 Rock in the 5th season does a live show. Like, these are things that, because they've been established, the shows have been on the air, they can try something new. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, they'll go back to being the same Grey's Anatomy that they were, but they got it out of their way. And maybe the next time the cast, I mean, it could totally work. If the cast had just sung the songs and it was played as background music, I mean, I noticed the music in Grey's Anatomy. That's why I've bought, like, all of the soundtracks, because I love them. So to me, I would notice, oh, that sounds like Kevin McKidd singing. Maybe I would go buy that song. And it wouldn't necessarily have to be a musical. We could still hear their music and it would still play a pivotal part in the show, because, you know, the music has always played a pivotal part in the show. So they don't have to go do a musical again. But they got it out of their way. Shonda Rhimes wanted to do it. The cast wanted to do it. They did it. It's the 7th season. They're not going anywhere. That show's going to be on for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change my opinion on the fact that it was perfectly fine. It's not going to make me stop watching Grey's Anatomy. There have been plenty of seasons of this show that if I didn't stop watching because of that, a musical episode is not going to make me stop. Cough.
Sure.
Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, I just think that some of the times that it got, like, actually when Owen breaks into song and it's sort of his dialogue, it almost made, even though it was like the third different way they were using music in the episode, it almost made more sense than,
right.
Like, it's like either go all out and everybody sings all the time or not. But some of the time it was like somebody, you had multiple people singing, but they didn't really know that the other one was singing and nobody else around them knew that they were singing. And and so I think mostly, it was, like I said, it was off from what perspective is it coming from. And I think somewhat, you know, some aspects it wasn't bad, but in the world that they've set up for how the show works, I think it didn't work.
Right. And there you have it. That's Grey's Anatomy. So, but you know what? I'm going to go back to this. You could argue that any episode of Grey's Anatomy doesn't work. So it's just another one in the long line of episodes that they've tried and maybe they failed on, but I still enjoyed it. So there you have it.
I think you can even go back to, like, the Denny storyline, while stupid and annoying,
ridiculous, and I hated it,
and just was maybe even, it was like they were taking revenge on her because she wanted off the show or something. I don't know.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
But still,
and I watched the
within
Secret
the
American
confines
Danger.
Of the show and the way that it's set up, her having whatever in her head that was causing her to see visions that were manifesting as her former fiance or whatever, while completely ridiculous, still fits within the show. Or like you mentioned, having Meredith
be in the afterlife for what felt like 7 episodes. Yeah.
You know, she dies or whatever and sees, you know, has, you know, talks with her mother and
Coach
and
Eric Taylor.
Whatever. But so those types of things are set up. That's why I felt that from the beginning, the way that it started off, I was like, okay, that's what they're going to do. And then 15 minutes into the episode, that's not what they were doing anymore. And then even later, they were doing something completely different. On the other hand, I think it would be hard to do it for a full episode where it always had to be around Callie, where she had to sort of be able to perceive what was going on some way. But to be able to get in as much music as they wanted to, they sort of went off the rails a little bit.
Cool. So there you have it. My opinion will not change after this conversation.
Stay strong.
Staying strong.
Let us know what you thought of the Kyle, Patty. I'm sure you'll...
Yeah, Kyle, Patty, Jonathan. Let us know what you think. So there you have it. That is our show for the week. So I want to thank Alex for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's been real. I enjoy having this a different kind of voice every week to kind of... I like having Alex on because she agrees with me and she feels for the characters as I do. And then I don't feel as, I don't know, crazy? I don't know.
Anytime.
So you know how to reach us. TVTimes3.com is the website. Spell it all out. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You know us. iTunes.
You can find all the links there on the website. And when the post goes up, we'll have links to where you can find Alex as well.
Yep.
And next week we go from the TV chick to the TV cricket.
Oh, and the TV cricket. Janie is going to join us next week.
Monsters and Critics will be joining us.
And there you have it. So our music today was provided by IODA PromoNet. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers on their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. Same spacing and everything. That's it. And I am actually going out to dinner today.
Oh,
I'm very
enjoy.
Excited. I found a coupon for TGI Fridays. And so I'm going to use it because I am in love with coupons. In love.
Don't
I use
go
them
on the-
every time I go anywhere.
Don't go on coupon hoarders, though. Have you seen the ads for that?
I have. Extreme couponing?
That's what
I'm
it
like,
is.
I'm like, how
yeah.
does that happen? Because I try and make it work, and then I spend $80 just so. Even with $30 of coupons, I still spend $80. I'm like, how do they make it happen? And I don't. Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
So that's it for me today, folks.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Yes, thanks
really
for joining.
Thanks.
Anytime.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
You know what? I know we're going to talk about it later, but all I've been thinking about all week, well, the only, like, I've had the songs from the Grey's Anatomy musical in my head all week. And I was actually just singing them at the top of my lungs. Anyway, so we're ready to start. Here, wait, what? 94. Episode 94.
That's how you get warmed up, right?
Yeah. I sing at the top of my lungs. I mean, I sing at the top of my lungs all day long. It doesn't really matter. I'm not warming up or anything. Okay, here we go. Hello, and welcome to episode 94. Wait, shoot. Do I see? Hang on. Let me start over.